The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Cedric Simonet, Chief Operating Officer of Altona Rare Earths. ANR is ticker there. Cedric, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you on. And you're on site there, aren't you? Explain where that is.
Yeah. I'm on site at Monte Muambe. Monte Muambe is our flagship rare earth project. It's located in Tet province in Mozambique, on the side of the border with Zimbabwe, Zambia, Malawi. So it's an area of Mozambique where there is a hell of a lot of mining development. There are several coal mines. There is one large iron ore and steel project, lots of gold mines. It's a very busy part of Mozambique in terms of mining.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, before we go into the last bit of news you released, which was preliminary phase two drilling results, before we do that and discuss how the project's going there, just give a broad summary as to what Altona Rare Earths is all about, if you could, Cedric.
Of course. Altona Rare Earth is a company that completely reviewed its strategy about 2 years and a half ago and decided to go for rare earths and set up a team that was suitable for this type of project, of businesses. And so we have a multi-asset strategy. Although right now we are working on one project, our strategy is to acquire and develop several projects, rare earth projects, and to look at different types of projects in terms of geology. I'm sure you know there are carbonatites, there are ionic clays, there are hydrothermal deposits. Each of these projects has got different characteristics and a different development dynamic. So we want to have several projects in our portfolio, and especially we want to focus on projects that can generate cash flow in the short term. This is very important for us because we don't want our shareholders to be diluted forever as we raise more funds. So if we can get some projects with cash flow, we'll be able to finance the other projects internally.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, let's focus there on where you are at the moment in Monte Muambe, and you release preliminary results from its phase two drilling program. Can you take us through those results, please, Cedric?
Yes, of course. So we took over the project actually about 1 year ago, almost day for day. It was in end of June last year. And the first thing we did, there was a lot of data available, although not so much on rare earths. So the first thing we did was to try to get a better understanding last year of how the rare earths were distributed in this Monte Muambe carbonatite, which is very large. It's 3.5 kilometers diameter, but rare earths are not everywhere. So we had to understand better. And we did about 3,000 meters of drilling last year, which allowed us to confirm two rare earth targets which were previously known and which allowed us also to discover two new targets. So this is where we started in 2022, knowing that we had a good rare earth project, knowing that by the end of this phase two, we had to get to our first resource estimate. But we wanted to understand better the ground, to do a bit more scout drilling and to do soil sampling over the entire carbonatite area. So what we did is that we brought a portable XRF on site, not just any portable XRF, but one that is specifically designed to analyze at least some rare earth elements and then to indicate where are the rare earth elements. And we've been using this tool since February almost nonstop. It's an excellent tool because you get your results immediately, like in real time. You collect the samples today, whether it's soil sampling, whether it's drilling, and you get your results the following day. So the soil sampling has enabled us to find new rare earth anomalies, to understand better the shape of the rare earth targets that we already knew. And not only this, but beside rare earths, we also found niobium. So that was something new. It had not been described so far. We were kind of expecting it because niobium is commonly a co-product or a byproduct of rare earths in carbonatites. So we found niobium, and now we are investigating further this occurrence of niobium to see if it can become ultimately a byproduct of rare earths. But Monte Muambe remains primarily a rare earth project. So after doing the soil sampling, we did some more drilling. So far, we've done 1,700 meters since April. And this enabled us to not only to confirm the grades, we already knew the grades, huh? The grades of the primary deposits range anything between 2% and 3.5% total rare earth oxide. That's excellent if we compare with our peers. I'm not talking about individual 1 meter intercepts. I'm talking about 40, 50 meter intercepts. I'm talking about holes which are mineralized all the way from surface to end of hole at 84 meters. We've got one hole like this, which is 2.6% all the way. So the grades continued to come out very nicely. But more importantly, we are starting to have a good understanding on the geometry of the ore bodies. And that is very important. So these ore bodies are vertical, more or less vertical. The contacts of the ore bodies with the host rock and mineralized carbonatite is vertical. And the dimensions are quite impressive. Target 1 is 700 meters long and about 100 meters wide. Target 4, we have a fence with three holes that went all through mineralized ground, so that we know the width of the ore body at this point is 170 meters. And the soil anomalies indicate that the length is 300 meters. So we are starting to see the geometry of the ore body, and it's looking good because from that we can infer some numbers on the size of the potential resource. All our holes went 70, 80 meters below the surface. It's open at depth. We've got another target called Target 9, which we have not drilled yet, but we are going to drill it in July. The size of the target is 500 by 300 meters. We expect similar results as we've got with Target 1 and 4. So it's all looking very good to a point that we commissioned a competent person to do an exploration target type of estimate. I don't know if you are familiar with exploration targets, but an exploration target is not exactly like a mineral resource estimate. It's mm-hmm. also under JORC code, but it's made with more assumptions. So typically the figure that you get on an exploration target is not as reliable as the one for a mineral resource estimate, and it comes as a range of tonnage and a range of grade. Mm. But we are in a position to do this as we are firming up now our resource drilling plan. Resource drilling is going to start on 11th of July. I can give you a very precise date because that's the one we agreed with the contractor, the drilling contractor. The drilling contractor has left his equipment on site so that he is ready to start when we give him the go ahead. And by the end of the year, we'll have all our samples at the laboratory, because obviously the PXRF results can be used only as a temporary indication. They are great to manage our drilling program and our exploration program, but they cannot be used in a JORC compliant mineral resource estimate. So all the samples are being sent to Intertech. The first batch from phase two is leaving next week. By the end of the year, we will have sent all the samples. So we are perfectly on track to produce our maiden resource estimate during the first quarter of 2023. Once we have done this and we will include the results of initial metallurgical testing, which we are also going to do this year, we will be able to produce a scoping study which should be published in the beginning of the second quarter of 2023. The scoping study, the metallurgical study, and the mineral resource estimates are the three key deliverables for phase two.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
So this is where we are.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Making lots of progress there. And like I said, nice to have some definite timelines of when things are happening, when things are actioning, when you're getting things done there on the ground there. So it's good work. So, Cedric, if you could right now, if someone's liking what you're doing here, the progress you're making, but are not yet following the story, could you give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add Altona Rare Earths to their watch list, please?
Well, the first reason... just compare us to our peers. And we can talk about Mkongo, we can talk about Tensana. Mkongo especially is very similar to us in terms of size of projects. Look at the market cap of our peers versus our market cap. Our project is just as good. It's going to get the same way. Our market cap is still just a few million. This is an opportunity because with the project we have, within a couple of years, we will be where our peers are currently. So you can picture the opportunity in terms of share price. Mm-hmm. The second reason, which is very important for me, is a multiple asset strategy. That is very important because we are operating in Africa. It's good to mitigate the risk, the geological risk, the technical risk, the political risk. So we want to have multiple assets in different jurisdictions with different development dynamics. More importantly, we want to have projects that will give us short-term cash flow. We're currently looking at one other project in Mozambique. We are doing a technical due diligence. I can't tell much more about this because it's not yet very advanced, but this is a sort of project that if it's the way we think it is, within 2 years, we can be in production, not on a big scale, on a small scale. But small scale with rare earths still means enough revenue that we can reinvest in other projects, and we don't have to make calls for funds that will ultimately dilute our shareholders. The third reason is that the micro drivers of the rare earth markets are extremely positive. And there is just no end of sight because if you look at what rare earths are used for, and many people don't know this. You know, people know about lithium because when they buy a lithium battery, it's written on it lithium. Mm-hmm. But when you buy an electric vehicle, it's not written on it NdPr. NdPr stands for neodymium and praseodymium. These are some of the rare earths which are the most in demand. But if you want to go towards a green energy, if you want to produce electricity, or if you want to consume electricity using a motor, both the alternator in the windmill and the motor in the electrical vehicle will use magnets, and these magnets cannot be made without rare earths. So if mankind is going towards green energy, towards using electricity, electrical vehicles, there is no end in sight. This is the best market you can be in at the moment and for a long time. These are my three reasons.
Excellent stuff. Cedric, good to chat to you, and hopefully we catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.